God made two genders, male and female. God made two genders, male and female. In California, they supposedly have identified over 53 different genders. Now, you thought there was three, four, five that they were trying. No, there's apparently now over 53 different genders. No, there is not. Are you listening to me? This whole idea that all this stuff is just in Sacramento or San Francisco or on the East Coast or in the big cities, we've tried to ignore this and we've tried to justify the blurring of the genders even in Christianity. And guess what? All of our compromise is now going to come back and get us. Simply because we won't go to the book of Genesis and understand that God created two genders. Not three, not four, not five, not six. I don't care what the culture's accepted. I don't care what the world's saying. I don't care what the Supreme Court decides. I don't care what our politicians, whatever laws they pass. God created two genders. Okay? God, who forms every baby in their mother's womb, never created and formed a homosexual. Never. How dare you lay that accusation at the feet of Almighty God? It is God who forms us and God who creates us, and God does not make perverts. We may choose to become a pervert, but God didn't make a pervert. Okay? And when we see this in the Bible in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 and 27, God's very specific. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. Some things we don't understand, some phrases, the importance of it, we don't understand until we get to a certain point of debauchery in a culture, and now all of a sudden these phrases are jumping off the page at us. So God, verse 27, so God created man in his own image. Mankind is created in the image of God. So if you say God created a homosexual, then God must have some homosexual tendencies. That's blasphemy. I said it's blasphemy. God created man in his likeness, created man, in his own image, in the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. Go over to Genesis chapter 5. Let's look at verses 1 and 2. Genesis 5, verses 1 and 2. Genesis 5, verses 1 and 2. This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him. Male and female created he them and blessed them and called their name Adam in the day when they were created. Now, if you will, go to Matthew chapter number 19. Let's go over to Matthew chapter number 19. Well, I don't know about this Old Testament stuff. Well, let me clear up your mind on this Old Testament stuff. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. One of the new independent fundamental Baptist leaders, this new wave of contemporary, claim to be independent fundamental Baptists or not, but claim to be that contemporary, made a statement the other day, tweeted it out, and said, we're never going to succeed in our churches till we unhitch ourselves from the Old Testament. Yeah, let's follow that crowd. Okay, let's go to those kind of churches. Matthew chapter 19, verses 4. Let's read verse 1. It came to pass when Jesus had finished these saying, he departed from Galilee and came into the coast of Judea beyond Jordan, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them there. The Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him, and saying, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? And he answered and said, have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? And said, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Jesus said, have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? What I'm saying is this, folks, there's some things where your preacher's drawing a line, and I need to have people that understand the Bible to stand there right beside me when I do it. Because there's a reason God put some lines. There's a reason God says, this is the males and this is the females. Okay, they're both made in my image, after my likeness, but they are very distinct and very different in how I made them and the purpose for which I made them. Tonight we're going to focus on the subject of original intent. God made two genders, male and female. Now let me go through this. What are the differences, preacher? What is the Bible teach us as the differences? Number one, men and women were created differently. The first man and the first woman was created differently. Let's use our Bibles. Go back to Genesis chapter 2 and look, if you will, in verse number 7. Genesis chapter 2, verse number 7. We covered this last Sunday night. We talked about the difference, the divine line between man and beast. And so Genesis chapter 2, verse number 7, and God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. All right, remember what I said? God spoke all of the first 6.5 days of creation. God spoke everything to existence. All of a sudden, there's a line drawn. And God says, now we're going to make mankind, and they're going to be separate from the animals, the beasts of the field. God reaches down and forms man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Man became a living soul. So that is how God made the man. Okay, well, how did he make the woman? All right, Genesis chapter 2, verse number 18, if you will, look there. Genesis 2, 18, and the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him and help meet for him. So God then makes the woman. Look, if you will, in verse number 21, and the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof, and the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And we're not told the specifics of that creation. I tend to believe that woman was made very similarly to the way man was made, as far as taking the dust of the ground, creating her body very specifically for the purpose, so that she'll be able to carry out the purpose of her original intent. You're going to hear me say that a lot. When God created man, he had a plan for what a man was supposed to be and what a man was supposed to do. When he created a woman, he had a very different plan for what a woman was supposed to be and what a woman was supposed to do. And so I believe he took that rib and then he went over and he created this woman in a very similar fashion. She still was given a living spirit. I believe God still breathed in her nostrils the breath of life. I believe she also became a living soul, obviously. But isn't it interesting that God didn't just go over and create somebody that was separate from the man? But God reached inside of the man and took a rib from that man, and from that foundational material, he created a woman. Now, there's a reason for the way God does things, okay? It's just not happenstance. There's a reason. So what did Adam conclude? Verse number 23, notice this. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Now I'm laying the groundwork, foundational groundwork. I want you to understand that when God created man, he created him a very specific way. But then he did not reach over here and create women separate from a man. He put a deep sleep on Adam, took that rib out of the man, and put a part of that man inside of the woman that he created. Now there's purpose in that. There's intent in that. He didn't say, good night, I don't have enough dirt to make all the ribs. I'm short a rib. Fall asleep. Here, let me borrow that. Now there's intent in what God did. There's purpose in what God did. And so as God created man and formed him, watch this, folks. Man's physical and mental and emotional makeup was designed so that the man would be properly equipped to fulfill God's original intent for his life. All right? Then when he created a woman, woman's physical and mental and emotional makeup was designed so that she would be properly equipped to fulfill God's original intent for her life. The original intent for a man is different than the original intent for a woman. We're going to get to that next. Number one, man and woman was created differently. Number two, man and woman was men and women are different in God's original intent. Now, what do you mean when you talk about original intent? One of the great benefits of studying the book of Genesis, it's the book of beginnings, it's the book of first mention. God lays the foundational truths in that book that should guide everything that we interpret from the book of Genesis on. So now we're going to look at original intent. You say, preacher, you believe that God created the physical body of man, the emotional and mental makeup of man, so that he could be successful in God's intent for man. Absolutely. Absolutely. And you believe that God created a woman physically, mentally, and emotionally so that she's well equipped to fulfill God's original intent for her life. Absolutely. Absolutely. And folks, listen, I'm not trying to be graphic or gross, but that body is not the same as this body. And that emotional makeup is not the same as this emotional makeup. And mentally, this one thinks differently than this one. And all that's okay, because God knew what he was doing. Okay, and yet, born alive, come on, those of you who are alive in the 1970s, we saw this, the ERA amendment and movement and the women's libbers and all that stuff, and bless God, they're going to be equal with men, and there's no difference between us and men. Yes, there is. You know what? You can march all you want to march and squawk all you want to squawk and get on the college campuses and scream your little lungs out, but that does not turn this body into this body. Isn't it interesting that first of all, they wanted to claim equality, and I don't know why you'd want to be equal to men's intellect. I really, you ought to be thinking about what you're wishing for, okay? I'm not sure you want to be equal with men emotionally and mentally. By the way, you don't want to be because they're not created to accomplish the things you're created. It doesn't make one less and one more, or one more and one less. It makes them different because God knew what he was going to have them do. All right? So why can't we just accept that? Why? Because I'll tell you why. Because God did this and the devil don't like it. I've showed you in everything that we've taught so far, every time God draws a line of distinction, the devil attacks that line. The devil tries to erase that line. The devil tries to blur that line. The devil tries to say, whoever's on this side, you need to come on over to this side. And by the way, you need to come on over to this side. Hey, he's doing a pretty good job, isn't he? I'm just going to put a plug in. I'm going to tell you, I sat down and read both books again. You read your own books? Yeah, every once in a while I do. Why? Because they got a lot of Bible in them, and I like the Bible. And I would encourage you, some of you have never written or read the 21 tenets of biblical masculinity and the 21 tenets of biblical femininity. Can I ask you a question? Why are you avoiding those books? You say, preacher, what moved you to do that? Why did you write this? I write in my book, did God put a book inside of you about what do we write? What do you write? How do you know what to write? You listen for needs. You know, for 10 years, I'm going to church camps and conferences and talking to youth workers and youth leaders, and they're all saying the same thing. Our young men are becoming increasingly effeminate. Not all of them. I'm not throwing y'all in the same boat, but as a general rule, they are. And young women are becoming increasingly aggressive and masculine in their makeup. Say, preacher, what'd you do? I finally said, well, everybody sees the problem, but nobody seems to be able to have an answer. Let's get into the Bible, let's find the answers, and let's give some teaching tools and some ways that we can stand up our pulpits and at least keep the Christians from following this pattern. All right? And so that's what we did, poured our hearts into that. Why? Because I like selling books. No, I'm trying to save a nation. Do y'all get this? Do you understand a lot of the things your pastor is doing in his overtime life is because we are desperately trying to turn a nation back to God? I'm tired. I'd rather stay home a lot of times. But you know what? You know why Jerry Ross keeps getting calls? Because we talked about this. Blessed Hope Baptist Church is distinct in a few areas. And there's so many churches going liberal right now. And you know what? Everybody's desperate. They're desperate for someone that has the courage to stand up and say what nobody else will say. Now, you poor folks have to deal with it every week of your life. And I pray for you about that. But to me, this is common sense stuff. This is what everybody believed 50 years ago, except for a few left-wing wackos and perverts. Now those folks have gained control in our country, and they've got controlling our public schools, and they're controlling our universities, and they are, listen, sodomites can't reproduce, so they have to recruit. They do it through our educational system. Now they're introducing these multi-gender ideas into preschool and kindergarten. And folks, it's not just some school in San Francisco. It's right here in this county. Okay? That's why I'm saying some of you that are still waffling about this whole thing of Christian education, you need to have your heads examined. I'm trying to be patient with you. I'm not trying to be nasty about it, but wake up. We used to say if we'd send our kids to the public school, you got to be fearful because they may grow up and decide not to serve the Lord. Now we better sound the trumpet. You send the kids to the public school, you've got a good chance they're going to come out sodomites. Because that's the goal. Their goal is not reading, you know, and arithmetic. What's the three R's? Reading. I couldn't remember that. Let me see. Yeah, sorry, I went to a Christian school. Reading, writing, and arithmetic. That's not their goals. I'm telling you, it is not the primary goal of the public school system is to give your kids an education so they can survive. It's to change a nation to perversion. That is the primary goal. I'm sorry. You know what? Say, preacher, I know some good people. I do too. I know some good people that are in the public schools teaching and are fighting back against this, but they are losing. Right. And their hands are tied at what they can say and what they can do. Stay with me. Man, come out among them, be a separate, saith the Lord. Amen. Wake up. All right, time to pull out. God created a place. I'm going to talk about the, I keep getting off on these things. Let's get back in here. Men and women are different in God's original intent. Now, stay with me. I want to take a few minutes to blow the trumpet because, you know what, if you don't understand and you don't, if you just continue to keep your head buried in the sand and not see, I think there's a reason God's letting this thing hit churches because God's sick of the compromise in our churches. God's sick of the things we wouldn't stand for, wouldn't fight for, and we've given up in this arena. And he's going to say, okay, you can act like it doesn't make a difference. I'm going to start making it make a difference in your life. Okay? So men and women are different in God's original intent. You say, preacher, what was the original intent for the male, for the men? Look at chapter 2. We're going to get back in this. I'm going to stick with it. Let's see where we go here. Chapter 2 of Genesis, verse number 8. All right? I want to hit three things. God's original intent for the man. And in these areas, it is different than the original intent of the women. Number 1, God created a place for the man. Genesis chapter 2 and verse number 8. The Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. Folks, that follows verse number 7. Eve is not even created yet. Okay, Eve is not created yet. So God has created a place for man. God didn't just create a man and then said, wow, that looks good. Whew, now what am I going to do with him? No, he'd already, all of creation, and we go through this, all of creation was prepared for Adam, but he was not told, the earth is yours, go wherever you want to. He created a specific place on the planet for Adam. Okay? You know what, folks? The where of God's will is just as important as the what of God's will. Well, preacher, I've got this set of skills, and the honest truth is I can locate in anywhere in America, and I can do what I'm doing, and we're looking around. And wait a minute. Where is God's place for you? Where is God's place for you? Now, stay with me. God created a place for the man. I want to just say that. This whole idea of the will of God does not include a specific where is just not Bible. Okay, a couple Sunday mornings ago, I get up, I stand outside of a church in Butte, Montana, and I just do a 360, and all around Butte, Montana are beautiful mountains, and as you look to the south, there's a beautiful set of snow-capped mountains. And I'm looking over the top of the church at these beautiful mountains. Now, of course, I will say this. I am not standing there in January. I will say that. But I'm standing there, and I'm going to myself, this has got to be one of the most beautiful places on the planet. And, you know, first time me and my wife went to the Rocky Mountains. I love the Rocky Mountains. I'll tell you what, I'd take every vacation to the Rocky Mountains if it wasn't for grandkids. Come on, somebody say amen. I love the Rocky Mountains. I love going out there and watching that. I love everything about it. And first time we went and seen the Rocky Mountains, we're coming home, and I look over at Cheryl, and I'm like, okay, that's in America? There's no border patrols? You can go from state to state? Why are we in Jasonville? And she said, well, there's this annoying little thing called the will of God. Oh, that's it. That's why we're in Jasonville. Hey, folks, there's sometimes this annoying little thing called the will of God, and you better consider it. Okay, now, ladies, help me. We're talking about original intent. Did God create Eve and then say, I've created a place for you? You know, you go tell Adam where that place is. I'm asking you. No, because she wasn't alive at this time. She hadn't even been created at this time. God created that. Why? It's almost like God had a plan. It's almost like this whole thing of leadership was going to be established from the get-go. And you know what? Listen, folks, I'm telling you, I'm watching this over and over again. Sir, please listen to me. If you know that where you're at is where God has put you, and your wife is unhappy there, and she drives you nuts till you leave it, then you have ignored God's original intent, and you are leaving God's perfect will for something that is not God's perfect will. Okay? The Lord's not going to come tell you, ma'am, where you're supposed to go. He's going to tell your husband where he's supposed to be, and you're supposed to be his companion, his helpmeet, and you're supposed to submit to his leadership. I'm telling you, folks, I've said that, I'm not trying to grind axes. I'm not mad at anybody. I'm trying to prevent this epidemic of role reversal that's even happening in the Church of Jesus Christ. I've had men sit in my office with tears in their eyes and say, preacher, I've got to leave Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Why? Well, is this God's will for you? Yes, I know it is. But my wife isn't happy here. Well, excuse me, ma'am. But God's not going to tell you where you need to go to church. And by the way, the same problem you have in following your husband, the same problem you have in listening to your preacher, you have an authority problem. And you're not going to be happy till you get in a situation where you are ruling your home and ruling whatever church you're in. And that's not happening at Blessed Oak Baptist Church. You may have your husband buffaloed. You're never going to buffalo this old buffalo. Are we clear? Well, all right, I'll just leave. Well, you know, I'll miss you. And by the way, I'll grieve over you. Amen. Because I'm watching you walk out of the will of God, ma'am. Yes, sir. Are you listening to me? God created him and said, now, I'm going to tell you where I want you. I prepared this one garden over here. You got the whole earth, but this is the place. It's called the Garden of Eden, and this is where you're supposed to be. We're talking about original intent tonight. Maybe we end up dividing this into three sermons, all right? God created a place for the man. Number one, God assigned a task for the man. In Genesis chapter 2, if you will, look at verse number 15. The Lord took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden, and he built a hammock and spent the rest of his life swinging in the breeze. No. You know why? Because we're made in the image of God. Okay, and part of being made in the image of God is we're created to do something and to protect something. What does the rest of the verse say? And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. Now again, excuse me, ma'am, we're going to get to you, and I promise you, you have been created for an amazing, very specific things that this man cannot do. But you were not created to come over here and get in his business. Okay? So God's not going to come to you and tell you where God's will for your life is as far as a place of God's will. Number two, what else did God assigned a task for Adam. Now, what did he do? There's two phrases here. It says that God put him into the Garden of Eden for two purposes. Here's his purpose. So he created him for a place. He created him for a purpose. To dress it. All right. What does that mean? Well, if you study the word Eden there, it means to work it, to labor therein, to till it, to serve. One of the things I want to remind men about is this. Work is not part of the curse of sin. Working by the sweat of our brows and having to fight thorns and thistles in our work, obstacles that sin has created that makes it harder. But folks, work is not a curse. Work is a blessing. And he said, Adam, I didn't create you so you could just sit around and enjoy all this. I've created the creation in such a way where it needs men, and we're going to see this in a second, to subdue it. In other words, left to itself, it's going to go into chaos. I've created you for this garden to keep it from going into chaos. So you do the work. You cut down what needs to be cut down. You trim what needs to be trimmed. You clear what needs to be cleared. You till what needs to be tilled. If you think about that, again, we're not that far removed from it. I said this the other day about, you know, the place that God's allowed me and my wife to borrow this part of his earth, we have a responsibility that comes with that. We're not supposed to move into a piece of property and let it take over. You never notice that a house that sits empty, it doesn't take any time at all, and you drive by there and nature's reclaimed everything. And there's a natural deterioration when there's no hands of a man to prevent it. You know, God created it that way because he wanted to keep us busy. He wanted us to have something to do. God just created for 6 days some amazing things, and at the end of every day he stopped and he looked at it and said, you know, that's good. And we're made in the image of God, and God gave us the strength and ability and a purpose in life to work at something, so at the end of every day we can say, you know what, that's good. There's a satisfaction that comes with subduing God's creation, which taking whatever thing God's given you to do and making it better. That's our purpose in life. That's God's plan for us. God knows that man left to idle hands will always end up doing things that he shouldn't do. And so he wanted to keep us busy. And that's not a curse, to dress it. And then we have the phrase there, to keep it. God assigned Adam to do a specific job. God assigned Adam protection duties. Protection duties. Bam, these aren't yours. Stay on this side of the line. We're going to get to you. Thank God for why God created man. And by the way, the original intent of creating women is a wonderful thing. But that's on this side of the line. Men, we're on this side of the line. Okay? And so why did God create us? He created us and assigned, listen, he created us for a specific place that we're supposed to be. He's created us for a specific task that he wants us to do. And part of that task of wherever he puts us is to take wherever we're at and make it better and subdue the creation. And then also, that word keep it means to protect it, observe it, to be the watchman, to preserve, to watch, to guard, to regard, to protect. And that means that not only men do we have a right to better our situation, better our property, but we have been given the responsibility of protecting. I believe in protecting your family. I believe in protecting your private property and protecting your possessions. It's okay. All right. Again, one of the reasons there's this big movement has been going on for how many years to try to disarm America is because they're trying to take away what keeps a man free and keeps a man able to do what God's assigned him to do. Okay. So God assigned a task for the man. That task included a specific job, and God assigned Adam protection duties, and that's what God's given man. It's on the, now, look at verse 16 and 17. God delivered the rules to man. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. Okay, now watch this. It is the job of a man to understand and accept the commands of God and to guide his wife and children to live within the boundaries of those commands. Okay? Say, how did Eve learn about what God's commands was? God told Adam, and Adam explained it to Eve. Okay, now I know we all have a King James Holy Bible. If we want one, we can have one. We all have access to the commands of God, but sir, that does not replace your responsibility to understand where God draws lines and accept those commands and guide the home to stay within the boundaries of those commands. That's your job, sir. Okay, it's not your wife's job. Well, she's the spiritual one. Well, you can get that taken care of, Dite. You get up here and get right with God. Start stepping up being the spiritual one. You're supposed to be the spiritual leadership in your home. You're supposed to understand that book. You're supposed to understand what God says, that the thou shalt nots and the thou shalts, and you're supposed to make sure that the family lives within the boundaries of those things. Those kids are under your authority and the leadership of your home. I don't care if they're 13 or 43. If they live in your home under your roof, God will hold you responsible to make sure that you keep those people in that house within the boundaries of Scripture. Well, what if they get to an age and they don't want to do that? Well, you help them pack, you cry, you give them a kiss on the cheek, and you say, hey, you know what? You've got a different philosophy. You're obviously a lot smarter than me. Time for you to go put it into practice and see how that turns out. Write us. Amen. 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 It shouldn't be quiet. There ought to be men shouting right now. What in the world's wrong with us? I'll tell you what. It's not to, the woman's come over here. Well, I'm going to decide where the boundaries are in this home, bud. Now, you can tell me what the Bible says or doesn't say, but I'm telling you what I'm going to do. And now mama's brought the little kids over here too, and they're telling daddy, and daddy's just supposed to sit in the corner and take it. Baloney. Baloney. Okay, that's a bunch of hogwash. All right. Come on, Ben. Say, what? Why these little things? Come on. The dynamics of our marriage is a little different than that, and you're making such a big deal. Okay, there's a reason that we had the situation we had last Sunday morning. And it didn't start with that. It started with, well, okay, dear. Okay, dear. I mean, I really think, okay. All right. Well, I'm going to be, all right, then go be it. But you stepped out of bounds. You stepped out of bounds. So God, it was God that said, this is the place that you're to be. And where Adam's supposed to be, Eve's supposed to be. This is the job that I've given you to do. And by the way, you're supposed to walk guard around this place. Why is it that the devil approached Eve when Adam wasn't around? By the way, I'm also mad at Adam in this. Adam, you were supposed to be the protector. I don't know if that's the first time the snake slithered into that garden or not. But buddy, you should have found a hoe and chopped his head off. But if this woman had responded properly when she was having her beliefs questions and the commands of God questions, she should have said, when he said, hath God said, well, I wasn't there, but my husband was, let me go get him. Right. Preacher, you don't know who you're talking to. I am woman, hear me roar. Yeah. You've roared society right into a transgender situation. Thank you. Thank you. I think the devil roars too, doesn't he? You see, this is why I keep getting asked out, because I'll say things that every guy in here says, man, I wish I said that. Why isn't people saying that? It's so obvious. It's so true. It's so obvious, so true. Well, we got too many cowards in the pulpit, and they've surrendered. You know why? Because they said, woman, and she said, what? Nothing. I just, I noticed, okay. Listen, but I'm going to tell you something. Some women that claim to be Christian, I don't know if they are or not. They, you know what? They will leave that man before they will let that man leave the home. Now, sir, you're going to have to decide. I'm sick of hearing this. Well, you know what? Whatever you have to do, you still have to save your marriage. Oh, disobey God? You know, the truth is, a lot of you are being buffaloed. Collar on it. It's funny. You'll pack Junior's bags. No, you won't. But you oughta. You can pack her bags too. I tell you, go get a divorce. I told you to go pack her bags. You know, at some point in a marriage, there's going to have to be, somebody's going to take charge. You know, well, it's 50-50. It is not. And if it is, it's not supposed to be. It's supposed to be 100%, 100% when it comes to commitment. But when it comes to leadership and the final say, wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as unto the Lord. Even as Christ, the church submits itself to Christ. I'm not saying it right. But you know, the same way that the church is to submit themselves to Jesus Christ is the same way that a woman is supposed to submit herself to her husband. Maybe the reason we have the church not in submission to Christ anymore is because we lost the battle in the first institution, which is the home. Okay, I know. Say, preacher, good night. If you preach this at, or taught this or said this at a university, well, they're run by a bunch of perverts. Okay, they got their religion. It's called humanism. They're anti-God, anti-Christ. They're atheistic. I don't expect them to believe this. I don't understand why it's hard preaching this in the Church of Jesus Christ. We're supposed to be born again. We're supposed to say that this book dictates everything in our life. Okay, all right, so that's God's intent for the man. What about the original intent for the woman? Okay, look in chapter 2, verse number 18. Chapter 2, verse number 18. Boy, stay with me. We'll take a few minutes, but I want to get this part to the finish line. Amen. I've only done half a Hollywood movie so far. You can hang in there. Verse 18, and God said, it is not good that man should be what? I think God knows us. So God says, man, sir, this is why I've created you. And by the way, he's created you to understand the will of God. That means he put a certain resolve in you, sir, where you say, if you need to, no, this is God's will for us. We're not leaving. Okay? God's built your body a certain way. So he says, get out there and work. You know what, folks? You can talk about equal rights, equal opportunity. This is a bunch of baloney. And I'm going to say this publicly. I am not for any of our young ladies joining the military. Now, you can crucify me on that or not, but that is not a woman's place. And they go through basic training, men and women together now. If they were equal, why are there two different standards of qualification for their PTs? And there is. Yes, sir. Yep. You want to join and you want to be alongside this man here and you want to be I Am Woman, Hear Me Roar, and I'm going to be Mighty Soldier. All right, then do the same number of push-ups he does. Amen.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Pick him up and carry him wounded off the battlefield. He can pick you up.
Right.
You know God created your body, sir, to work hard and to be able to move stuff and to be able to lift stuff and to be able to fight to protect. God was over here borrowing that rib, making. He didn't make the same thing he made over there. You can scream about being equal all you want. Excuse me, physically, you are not equal with a man. Right. Bible even recognizes that and tells the men, remember, they are the weaker vessel. That vessel is talking about their body. Again, folks, listen to me. It's not good and bad. It's not best and better. It's different for two completely different intents. So why do we have a problem with this? Ma'am, use it to your advantage. You get that honey-do list. Come on. I think you ought to do everything around the house you can do, but you're going to have some things you should be doing. And you take that over here and say, oh, excuse me, I don't want to go on across the line. Here you go. Well, I'll tell you what, I have to wear certain things because when I'm up in on a ladder, excuse me, man, why are you up on a ladder? No, well, seriously, excuse me. You know, again, if you understood original intent, you'd understand the silliness of that argument. Right. Well, I have to wear this because I can't be modest doing certain things. Excuse me, man, but why are you doing those certain things if you can't be modest? If you can't be modest and do them, then that's his job. Well, I'll tell you what, if our daughters dressed the way you want your teen girls to dress, I mean, man alive, it would be immodest when they're sliding in second base. Excuse me, but why is your daughter sliding in second base? The problem is you don't understand original intent. God made her for a certain purposes. And anything that she has to do that would cause her to be immodest is not her job to do. Girls, I'm giving you something here. You ought to take this thing and run with it, man. But you want her to be liberated. Well, go ahead, be liberated. How's that working out for you? Okay. Now, God creates a woman. Number one, God created a woman as a companion for companionship for the man. As a companion for the man. God created a woman as a companion for the man or for companionship. Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. But wait a minute. Look down at verse 22 through 25 and let me specifically carry this through. This is not him just creating one more buddy. This relationship is far more than just companionship. This relationship is special in a way that no other relationship is special. Now look at this. Verse number 23. And Adam said this, let me see, 22, verse 22. And a rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of a man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. There's a reason he took that rib, folks. He wanted you to understand that, ladies, even though you are created in many ways completely opposite and different of your husband, that's what allows the two of you to complete each other. This is what makes this thing mesh. When you decide, I promise you, every area of life where there's a conflict in your marriage, I shouldn't say every, most areas of life where there's a conflict in your marriage, it's because you are over here trying to exercise masculinity, or he's over here trying to exercise femininity. And once you understand original intent, and by the way, ladies, I'm not talking about accept it like it's a burden and a cross. You ought to embrace it. It's your glory. It's the reason God made you. Why are you fighting against it? Sir, why are you fighting against it? Listen, women 50 years ago started roaring and deciding they wanted to be men, and then we should not be surprised that the men and those families are producing effeminate young men, and this kid's miserable, and this woman's miserable while they're all walking around patting each other on the back talking about how successful they are. I mean, they're drinking booze and they're smoking pot and fighting for the legalization of marijuana so they can get through another day. You can't even get a seat in the waiting room at the hospitals or in the doctor's offices because everybody needs a pill to get through another day. But I'm going to tell you what, we're liberated. And we wouldn't just look at this thing and say, good night, this is why God created me. He had a purpose. He had an original intent. And you know what? He wants me to be a companion. It is not good for the man to be alone. And God created me with all of the opposite necessary strengths that he doesn't have to help him and to be there for him. And he even took a part of him out of him and put it in me because he knows that this is not going to be just two buddies. This is not just for companionship. This is for oneness. I mean, folks, marriage is a miracle. Putting two people together. That's why I'm begging you, young people, please. Good night. Why is it every kid seems like it gets to be 18? I'm going to pay my respects to 18 pretty soon. All of a sudden, they just lose their brains. Why is it the devil works so hard to get you off track between 18 and 24? Because that's probably when you're going to get married. And God created somebody for you. It's not happenstance. He created that person very specifically and you very specifically. And you know what? When you wait and are patient and stay pure and wait for that right fit, it is a perfect fit. It doesn't mean sometimes you don't have to figure things out, work things out. I'm just saying that God created two pieces of the puzzle that meet together. And you know, again, you have to figure out what your intent is. And you got to, sir, sometimes if not careful, you're over on this side of the line too. And you need to understand what's on her side of the line. And you don't understand what's on your side of the line. Hey, why don't we let women be women and men be men? Why isn't that celebrated? Why is it always attacked? But God created a woman as a companion for that man, not just any companion, not just a buddy, but the closest human relationship possible. Folks, therefore shall a man leave his father and mother. You're born into a family. Excuse me, moms, dads, you better understand this and know this. That's a temporary situation. You've got 18, 20 years to prepare them and help them be prepared for the person God has for them. That's your purpose. Come on, these little babies, the little young ladies right in here. Okay, they're lent to you, mom and dad. Well, they're ours. No, they're lent to you. First of all, they're God's. Children are heritage of the Lord. Yes, sir. But they're lent to you so you can prepare them. These young ladies ought to be growing up being prepared with all of the strengths and abilities on this side of the line, which does not include sliding in second. Well, where should they be during the ball game? They should be up here going, yay. You see what my brother did? Amen. Go, Dad. Amen. Right. How we doing? How we doing? Right. See, the problem is you want to be the star. You want the trophy. You want your husband, yay. Yay. Go, dear. You go to these girls' games, and you know what you're finding now? Male cheerleaders. At the girls, am I wrong? Male cheerleaders at the girls' softball game. But it doesn't matter until you have to go to the bathroom, blessed hope, and there's a guy in there. Then it starts mattering. All right? You're over here, ma'am. It's not good that man should be alone. What's that mean? He needs a helpmeet. That's the second thing. God created a woman as a helpmeet for the man. The Lord God said, it's not good that a man should be alone. I will make an helpmeet for him. Now, what does that mean? That means God says, okay, son, I've created a place for you. There's a place of God's will, a purpose of God's will. You're to do this, and here's the rules. And you know what? Part of what the way a man is wired is while he is doing this work, and he steps back, and he's there at the end of the day, and he's created something, or he's done something. He needs a woman to come up and put her arm and say, honey, that's a great job. Wow, I knew you could do that. That is awesome. I'm so proud of you. That's this. Yay. That's what it is. And by the way, honey, God's going to tell us where we're supposed to Where we are supposed to be, God's going to tell you, wherever that is, that's home for me. And God's going to tell you what you're supposed to do with your life. And you know what my job is? Do everything I can to see that you succeed at that. And whatever I need to do, whatever skill set I need to develop to help you be more successful, I want you to know I'm here. I can't do it for you, but I can support you. And I'll do everything I can to set you up for success. I'm going to tell you the kind of woman I'm describing right now, I can tell you there are American men all over this planet looking for what they believe is now a unicorn. No, I'm telling you. I'll start going through this and I'll have men. I'm talking about successful men. I'm talking about men that could very well take care of and say, you just got to understand the reason I'm single and I'm staying single is that don't exist anymore. And listen, you know what's going to come back and get the women? Because a bunch of American men right now are saying, you know what? If bringing you into my life, all it does is cause me chaos, and I got to fight every day, and you're trying to do what I'm supposed to do, and you want me to do, and you know what? I'll just be single. Okay? I'm just telling you. Excuse me, man's not made to be led around like the note. He's not made for that. By the way, men, neither are women. But God says, I'm going to show you, sir. Okay, God didn't come to me when we ended up closing down what we did in Brazil, Indiana. God didn't come to my wife and say, you know what, Cheryl, what you need to go tell your husband is that it's time to move to Blessed Hope Baptist Church. You know what she said? She said, I'm not sure what's next in our life, but honey, I'm praying for you as you decide. And wherever you go, we go, and it'll be great. You know how many guys would cut off their right arm to hear something like that? To have something like that? But no, you know, you're so busy roaring. Okay, come on. God created a woman as a companion for a man, and that companionship, folks, goes beyond just being a best friend, even though that's my best friend on earth. It goes to a level of intimacy. I won't read the last verse of that chapter out loud, but there's an intimacy that you only experience with one person. There's this oneness that you only enjoy with one person. And you know what makes all of that sweet is that I'm rooting for him to be what God made him to be, and I'm rooting and supporting you being God what God made you to be, and that's what makes a marriage sweet and works. And you know what? The problems come when this guy won't stand up and be what he's supposed to be, or this woman wants to cross the line and take over. Okay, that's the problems. All right, God created the woman as a helpmeet for the man. Number three, we're done. God created the woman to be joined to the man. Together they would carry out God's command to be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, and subdue it. Look in chapter 1, verse 27. Now, even though we're at the end, don't check out on me, because what I'm going to say is so important the last few minutes here. In chapter 1, verse number 27, let's notice again what God said. In Genesis 1, verse number 27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed, T-H-E-M, them. This two that came together, each created for a very specific purpose and intent. And they join with the knowledge of that and the understanding of that. And he says to both of them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. And subdue it. I talked about already about this subdue. Now this is so exciting to me. So God, in his mastery, creates a man and creates him with the elements that he needs to fulfill God's intent for his life. He comes over here and he borrows a rib and he creates this woman so that there's always a part of that man in her. By the way, he took a rib. He didn't take a bone out of the head so you could lord over him. He didn't take a bone out of the foot so you could be trod upon. This woman understands why God created her, and she stands alongside her husband and supports him in his leadership as he follows the will of God. That's a wonderful thing. That's a wonderful thing. And so the design and makeup of a woman is not an accident, but the will of your Creator. A woman is designed physically. What's it say? What are you going to do together? It says that you're to be fruitful. and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it. The design and makeup of woman is not an accident, but the will of your creator. As woman is designed physically not to go and dig ditches for 8 hours a day, but to produce and bear children, to be fruitful and to multiply. Watch this. Her mental and emotional makeup makes her a natural multitasker. She excels at multitasking, at nurturing, at organization. And she's supposed to put all of those works to use in the most important institution God created, that of the home. Okay? Now listen, they can bring those skill sets into the church, and we have ladies that do, and some of the most competent helpers we have around here. And they do such a good job. It's because God created them a certain way. I mean, I know I see it every day. Listen, my wife can be working on, okay, she's got three pieces of paper, and she's got to pick up three pieces of paper, get them straight, and staple them. So I'll walk through, and I'll say, hey, let me help you get that done. For every one I can get together, get lined up, and hit a stapler on, she's done four. Well, you just don't think women's very important. It's important that job gets done. You mean it's not important? It is important. I'll make you a second. I'm just telling you, God's, I'm amazed at, you know, there's a study, and I should bring this and read it. But you know what? There are studies, and I don't know, you know, where these studies come from. I can't. There's also studies that say they found a gay gene, so I don't know what to believe anymore. Gentlemen, our brains do not work the same as women's brains. Okay. We can only use one side of our brain at a time. That's it. Women can use both sides of their brain. You can sit in a restaurant and you can carry on a conversation with your wife. And sir, it's like it takes all of your brain. It does. I'm telling you, ladies, because sometimes, you know, we don't understand you, but you don't understand us. It takes all of our brain to absorb what you're saying to us. Sir. And she'll be engaged in this conversation, and she's talking and answering all your questions and processing all of your information, and then she'll lean over and pat your hand and say, you know what, that's terrible about that little couple over there. What couple? What they're going through. Them? Yeah. How do you know what they're going through? I've been listening. And I'm thinking, man, I'm wearing myself out listening to one conversation. She's communicating, answers questions intelligently, and keeps our conversation going, and she knows what five other families are doing at five other tables. Now stay with me. Why would God create women like that and men different? Because men, when we are completing a task, women, you cannot singularly focus like a man can focus. It's not a slam. You know why? Because you need your mind to work a different way. You need to be preparing the meal and listening to the children that are playing outside and listening for the baby in the other room to see if it wakes up. Come on, man. How many times has she said, oh, something's happening? You're like, what? Did you hear that? No. Honey, did you know? No. And you say, he's just pretending to be that way. No, we are that way. We don't even have to try. It comes natural. That's why God looked and went, that's not good. For him to be alone, that is not good. I mean, Chad Gordon would starve to death on a job. He would. He'd start on Monday, and about Friday, he'd be feeling faint. He realized, I haven't eaten in 5 days. man, this is awesome. Look what I got. What's he need? He needs her to say, ding-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling, honey, come on in. Why? Oh, honey, yeah, oh, it's good. Come on in, come on in. Sit down. Here, focus on this now. Okay. Why do you want to be this? We want to be on that side of the line. We're just too dumb to be on that side of the line. No, we really don't. I got to finish. But isn't it interesting that God has made us, if we would just stop fighting against the lines, and you would just embrace what God made you to be and be content in it, it's a good life. And you being what you ought to be, and this little lady that God gave you being what she ought to be, I mean, you talk about a dynamic duo. I mean, when God took these two and made them into one, I'm talking about he created almost an unstoppable force with the help of Almighty God. It is amazing what a couple and a marriage properly ordered, with both understanding original intent and not walking around bitter about it. I don't get it. I'm not bitter, I'm a man. A woman shouldn't be bitter, she's a woman. I don't want to be a woman. I don't understand women that want to be men. Why can't we be happy in what God created us to be and embrace that? Because when that thing comes together, I'm telling you what, woo, you talk about some things get done. Well, we got to finish. Heavenly Father, we'll pick up here. Lord, I pray, dear God, that you'll help us. So many of the little things that cause contention, so many of the little things that don't seem like a big deal, when we understand original content and we respect the sanctity of the line between male and female, so much of that begins to become obvious in our lives. Lord, I pray, dear Lord, we just raise a generation of young ladies that are created to be young ladies, moms and wives and helpmeets, and with all of their incredible, amazing skill set to be able to do successfully the things that a man cannot do. I pray, Lord, we'd raise a generation of young men that would stay on their side of the line and just understand it and get it. God, delivers from this role reversal. It's destroying a nation. It is absolutely destroying a nation. Who would have guessed that role reversal in the family would be the thing that very well could bring the greatest persecution against the Church of Jesus Christ in the history of the United States of America? And Lord, it's just not the world. Lord, I pray that you'd convict our hearts about some things. Lord, it'd be awesome if there was some wives that went home and said, honey, I need to talk to you. I need to apologize. I keep crossing my line. It'd be a wonderful thing if some men said, honey, no, I need to apologize. I'm not living up and standing up and being what God created me to be. Things are going to change. No, we want the Bible to change. We want society to change. Lord, you're wanting us to change. Lord, bring us to what we ought to be. We pray in Jesus' name.